A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the properties of a magnet. A magnet. She went into great detail about the drawing power of magnets and even gave some really neat demonstrations, you know, with magnets and the certain things that were attracted and how much you could lift up and from what distances. The next day she gave them a quiz, and she included in that quiz this little riddle. My full name has six letters and begins with M. I pick up lots of things. What am I? When the papers were gathered in grade later, the teacher was astounded that nearly half the class wrote mother. Mother. Now, it wasn't the answer that she was looking for, but she gave them credit nonetheless because, well, after all, mothers pick up their babies, and they pick up after their toddlers, and they pick up their kids from school, and they pick things up for their kids from the store, and they pick up their kids when they fall, and they pick up their kids' spirits when they are low, and they're in the dumps, and on and on and on and on. So she gave them some credit. I think we should give some credit to mothers. What do you think? Mothers, we appreciate you, don't we? We appreciate mothers today. We appreciate our moms and those, again, who are maybe even sometimes surrogate mothers, those women and who have just come alongside, grandmothers who've been there as a mother for us in times of need. Now, this story about mothers and magnets seemed appropriate to me since we just finished Teacher Appreciation Week. And today is, of course, Mother's Day. So I've been moved to speak about one of my favorite teachers, and I say my favorite teacher compared to other earthly teachers, and that's my mom. My mom. She taught me a lot of things in life. How about your mom? Did she teach you a lot of things in life? Maybe some of the things my mom taught me, well, you can say, well, yeah, my mom taught me that too. For one thing, she taught me respect. She taught me respect. I was taught to honor her and my dad. You know, honor our parents. I was taught to honor my elders. You know, get up, you know, when someone older comes into the room, give them your seat, open the door, that kind of thing. Teach them. I was taught to speak to them respectfully, you know, saying Mr. and Mrs., not calling them by their first name, or aunt or uncle, whatever. Taught me respect for my elders. And for my teachers at school. You know, to teach them, I was taught to speak to them respectfully. I was taught to respect the police. I really was. You respect the police, respect the authorities. Now, my mom didn't quote scripture about this, as I recall, but Romans 13:5 says, you should respect and obey authorities, not simply to avoid consequences, but because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. I'm afraid that respect is something a lot of folks need to learn yet today. How about you? That's a lacking element. My mom also told me to respect others even if they weren't in positions of authority. Respect your peers, you know, your friends, neighbors, classmates. In this case, she didn't refer to, again, a precise scripture, but without knowing it maybe, she referred to one of the most basic teachings of Jesus. We call it the Golden Rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. You can find that in Matthew's gospel, but also Luke 6:31. Now, that concept naturally leads to the concept also of self-respect, and my mom tried to teach me that too. Don't do that. What will people think? Any of your moms ever say something like that to you? How about this one? How about this one? If you made poor choices, you know better than that. I taught you better than that. And you are better than that. Anybody identify with that coming from your mothers? Proverbs 22:1 comes to my mind. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And often as a child, we don't recognize that. But later on in life, we do understand how valuable a reputation is. And my mother wanted me to understand that. Respect myself and others. Speaking of the idea, though, of the value of reputation, she also taught me the value of a dollar. I'd be willing to bet your mother did that too, in some way or another. How many of you had your mom say, money doesn't grow on trees? Or I can't pull it out of thin air? How many of you might have had your mother say something like, I paid good money for those clothes and you're going to wear them? But mom, they're not in stock. You're going to wear them. Now this is how much we've got to spend on that and not a penny more. Yeah, but mom, this is how much we've got. And we've got to stay within that budget, not a penny more. So she tried to teach me that idea too. She taught me to be careful, not just with money, but with my health. Don't play with matches. Don't play with knives. Don't run with a pencil in your pocket. Now, I didn't quite understand that when she said it. I thought, I don't get that. How many of you know what? Yeah, that's wise. Don't run with a pencil in your pocket. Maybe you've experienced some pain from that very thing. Don't eat so much junk. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Take care of yourself. The wise man Solomon cautioned in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. It's interesting, he goes right into this next part, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I think that's very interesting that he's talking about that discipline and the fear of the Lord right in connection with the idea of listen to your parents. And particularly, don't forsake your mother's teaching. How many of you know that a mother's teaching and her discipline are closely akin to what the Father would have us know, our Heavenly Father would have us know, about discipline and instruction? This idea of a garland to grace your head or a chain to adorn your neck, that's not a reference to some ornamental headwear, you know, or a necklace. So much as symbols of victory and success. In other words, if we take to heart what our moms taught us, we'll do much better in life. We will. I know if I'd listened to my mother more often than I did, I wouldn't have had as many trips to the ER as I did. My sister is here today, and she could tell you, I went to the ER many times. Too many times for stitches and, you know, x-rays and, you know, bumps and bruises and whatever, because I didn't listen. I wouldn't have as many scars as I do today if I'd have listened more to my mother, not physically, and I probably would have avoided some emotional scars too if I'd have listened better. I'd have been more fiscally responsible and better prepared for retirement now if I'd listened to her more earlier on. I likely would have also avoided the few run-ins I had with the law. And now you're going, Pastor Steve, you had run-ins with the law? Well, thankfully they were just misdemeanors, but I wouldn't have even had those if I'd have listened to my mama, if I'd have paid attention. And I'm confessing to you today that the truth is I haven't always listened to my mama. Haven't always taken my mother's teaching as seriously as I should have. Am I alone in that? Irma Bombeck once wrote, when your mother asks you if you want her advice, it doesn't matter how you answer. You're going to get it anyway. My mama gave me advice. A lot of times I didn't solicit it. She just gave it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? And a lot of times, maybe we didn't pay enough attention to that advice because we weren't asking for it. But nonetheless, we needed to hear it. We needed to receive it. The most important piece of advice my mom ever gave me was to listen to Jesus. She said, if I would do that, I wouldn't go wrong. If I would just do that. Now, though she may not have realized it, my mom was a lot like Jesus' mom in that regard when she told me to listen to him. If you're wondering what I'm getting at, take a look with me at John chapter 2, the second chapter of John's Gospel. We'll be picking up in verse 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. On the third day of a wedding that took place in Cana in Galilee, the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus replied, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Now, pausing here a moment, I feel the need to remind you that Jesus was not being disrespectful to his mother. How do I know that? Because the first command of God with a promise attached is to honor our parents. And Jesus never once sinned. So he wasn't disrespecting or dishonoring his mother here. What was he doing? He was pointing out that it wasn't time for him to begin his public ministry. It wasn't on his father's timeline to identify himself as a Messiah that day. That announcement would come soon, but not just yet. Still, after Mary called her son's attention to the shortage of the refreshments, we read in verse 5 that his mother said this to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Do you hear that? Do whatever he tells you. In other words, she left the problem in his capable hands to sort out as he saw best. And we're going to come back to this a little later. But for now, reading on. Verse 6 of John 2. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And when the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine, he did not realize where it had come from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone else brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper stuff after the guests have had plenty to drink. You saved the best till now." Verse 11 says, this is the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now what we have happening here, folks, is Jesus fulfilling the need discreetly. His mother knew what he'd done. So did the disciples. They put their faith in him. And the servants who were directly involved, they knew, but no one else did. We know because John's telling us. But no one else there did. See, what he did is he honored his mother's wish without violating his father's will. Now, back to Mary's words to those servants. Do you remember what she said? "Do whatever he tells you." Say that with me. Do whatever he tells you. Again, do whatever he tells you. What Jesus told them to do probably seemed pretty silly. Think about it. Put yourself in their sandals a minute. It would have been a lot of work. Number one, to fill those jars. How much water did they hold? A lot of water. And why do it? For what purpose? This wasn't some fine mountain spring water or chilled Perrier that they poured into those jars. What wedding guest would want to drink warm water from a wash basin? Think about it. And then to take a cup of it to the master of ceremonies? Would that make any sense? I can imagine them thinking, "Why are we doing this? This is not going to go well. He's going to be insulted when we bring this to him. We could get in big trouble. Yet they did what Jesus told them to do. Right? They did what Jesus told them to do. And in the process, they became part of something truly marvelous. Truly marvelous. So I have a few questions. First one's this. What did your mother teach you that you thought was ridiculous? What did she tell you to do? What did she teach you to do that you thought, this doesn't make sense? I'll be honest. Why make my bed if I'm just going to mess it up again tonight? Any of you ever thought that as a kid? I mean, what's the point in this? And who cares if my clothes don't match? Well, my wife does, but who else cares? Or if I don't brush my teeth before I go to bed, who's even going to know? Now, it's one thing to listen to what mom says when you're a kid, right? But what about when you're old enough to make up your own mind? Do we dismiss her pearls of wisdom as the rants of a woman who's out of touch, out of step with the times? Only to realize, perhaps too late, that those were pretty valuable things that she was sharing. What did she try to teach us that we know deep down, we should have paid closer attention to? What principles do we now know in our heart of hearts would bring a smile to her face even now, even today, if we put them into practice? Something to think about. As you think about honoring a mother, listen to these gems from Solomon's pen. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says that a foolish child brings grief to their mother. Any of you ever bring grief to your mother? Be honest. Mothers, how many of your... No, I was going to ask them how many of their kids brought grief. No, I won't do that. Don't want to embarrass their kids if they're here. Proverbs 15, 20 tells us foolish children despise their mother. Now, I want to object that I never despised my mom. I love my mom, but the truth is I brought her way too much grief. And I may have at times portrayed the idea that I despised her advice by ignoring it, by dismissing it. Proverbs 22, verse 23 warns, listen to your father who gave you life. And here, and don't despise your mother when she's old. My mom once confronted me about some foolish choices that I was making. She told me how it saddened her to see me going down the road that I was taking. Maybe some of you can identify with that at some stage in your life. I told her, sorry, Mom, you know I love you, but I have to live my own life. Right? I've got to make my own choices. Now, it took me a while to realize that she was concerned because she loved me. And then that she wanted the best for me. And that no matter what I might say, when I did not heed her advice, her counsel, especially when I was rebellious about it, she was not feeling my love. You know what I'm talking about? And what about Jesus? What about Jesus? What is he calling us to do that we're not doing? Could be as simple as public confessing faith in him or being baptized as he instructs his followers to do. Or turning the other cheek or forgiving someone who did us wrong. We may think all those things are silly. That doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? Everything within me says, I don't need to do that. Why should I do those things? What difference will they make anyway? Jesus knows my heart, doesn't he? Why do I have to do this stuff? Well, Luke 6:46, he said, "Why call me Lord and not do as I say?" And in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching." So here's the deal. Listening to the teaching of a loving mother can lead us down a path to a more fulfilling and rewarding life. It can spare us a lot of pain and heartache. And listening to the teachings of Jesus, even more so. Think about this a minute. What if the servants that day in Cana had ignored Mary's instruction to do whatever Jesus told them to do? What if they'd have said, "Woman, why involve me? Why involve me? Why ask me to do this? Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to him? Who are you? Who is he? Why should I do that?" What if they'd taken that attitude? Wouldn't they have missed out on being part of a mighty miracle? What might we miss out on if we ignore Jesus today? Now, we may not see water turn to wine, but we might witness transformed lives or amazing changes in our relationships if we would just do what he tells us. If we would just listen and respond to what he says and do what he tells us. I'm convinced that in my own life, I would have seen much more of the miraculous if I would have learned to do what I consider to be mundane or monotonous. I'm going to say that again. I'm convinced in my own life and in the lives of so many others that we would experience more of the miraculous if we learned to respond to Jesus in the mundane and the monotonous. Well, we think, what's this big deal? What's the dealio? What's the big dealio? Why should I listen to him? Why should I do what he says? In these simple matters, why should I? Because he gave you life. He birthed you. He rebirthed you. Your mom may have birthed you physically. He rebirthed you. If you're born again, he gave you new life. And he loves you even more than your mother does. Even more than your grandmother does. Your godmother might. Or anyone else who's mothered you kindly and compassionately. Not to belittle them, but Jesus deserves even higher honor and glory than they do. My mother and the mother of Jesus, and I'm guessing many of your moms, would urge us to listen to Jesus and do whatever he tells us to do. How many of you got some moms out there who encouraged you to listen to Jesus? Come on, just hands up. How many of you had some moms who encouraged you to listen to Jesus? How many moms here have encouraged their kids to listen to Jesus? Wouldn't it give you great joy if your kids listened to Jesus? Wouldn't it have given them great joy if you'd listened to Jesus? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Each year on this day, my goal is to honor mothers, and it's to lift up Jesus. Matter of fact, if today I spoke only on mothers and didn't mention Jesus, my mother would have something to say to me about that. She'd say, "Thank you, son, but you missed something." I began this lesson with a story of a riddle. You remember it? Let me give it to you again. My name has 6 letters and begins with an M. I pick up things. What am I? Well, the teacher was looking for the word magnet. Many of the kids gave the word mother. I woke up yesterday morning with an even better answer. Master. Six letters, first one's an M, and he picks up things. After all, speaking of his being raised up on the cross, our Lord said in John 12:32, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. I will draw all people to myself. Jesus lifts us out of the depths of condemnation and despair and hopelessness. He draws us to himself, and he will raise us up, not just in this life, but forever, eternally, with his Father. I want to lift up your moms to you today, but I want to lift up Jesus to you. Because when he's lifted up, people will be drawn to him. That's what he said. What? Where's the magnetic power in Jesus? Where is that? All I can tell you, the love of God is energized by the Holy Spirit. And there is a drawing power when we understand and we see Jesus for who he is. That not only draws us to him, but we stick to him. And he'll lift us up. And he'll take us places where we never would have gone before. But they'll be good places. And we'll be glad. We'll be glad for Jesus. We'll be glad. So as we honor moms today, I believe that for most of us, one of the greatest honors we could pay to her would be to honor Jesus. I believe that one of the greatest things we could do that would have brought great joy to her heart would be to honor Jesus and to do whatever it is he tells you to do. I think it's interesting again. Mary said, do whatever he tells you to do. She didn't tell him what to tell them to do. He said, do whatever he tells you to do. And were they blessed? They certainly were. And we will be too, if we heed that great motherly advice.